Proverbs chapter 19. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 19 this evening. All right, so I have a confession. I'm still a nerd. And I'm goofy and I like kid things. And I'm saying that up front so that whenever I talk about things like this, you understand why I'm saying this. So, like, I like superheroes. And I like cartoons. And particularly, I like Asian cartoons where there's a lot of, like, fighting involved. It's called anime or Japanese animation, depending on how you want to splice that. And I think the reason why I like stuff like that is because the good guys always win. But what I've noticed is that I've always been attracted to the characters who have always been the strongest. And not just the characters who've always been the strongest, but who have demonstrated their strength through yelling and power and really and getting angry at things, right? So there's this one anime that I really like where guys power up and their hairs change colors depending on how mad they get. It's like my favorite one growing up. Or I think about the Avengers, and like my favorite superhero in that one was the guy who would go green. And really, where does his power come from? It comes from by how angry he would get. And I think what starts to happen, and I don't know if we make this connection or not, but what starts to happen is I think we start to associate power with anger. And that the angrier you get, the madder you get at whatever the situation is, that you can deep down inside channel this inner strength and overcome whatever it is that's going on. So this evening, I want us to spend a little bit of time thinking about anger. And I want us to unpack this idea of anger. Because I don't think that's what the Bible teaches. I think I've been taught some false things. And I've been led to believe and I love some things that I probably shouldn't be loving. Because that's not what the Bible says about anger. And so what I want us to do this evening as we consider anger and as we spend some time thinking about anger, I want us to think about where does anger come from. Then I want us to think, and as far as the organization of the lesson, stay with me here because I'm going to give some applications before I give the source or the foundation of anger, or the solution, excuse me. But we're going to talk about where anger comes from. I want us to consider for a few minutes at what does anger do to you? If you are an angry person, what does your life look like? And then I want us to talk at the very end about some solutions to anger. And so, as we start off with this idea of anger, see, at its core, anger is and always will be, and I'm talking about non-righteous anger, anger is always rooted in you. Think about why you get angry about things. It's because somebody offended you. Someone said something that you didn't like. Someone did something that you didn't like. Someone did. At its core, when I get angry about things, it's because they bothered me. My life was going well and somebody cut me off. Or things were going great, so someone said something to me that I didn't like very much. And you can fill in the blank for you. And at its core, anger is always rooted in us. And again, we're not talking about righteous anger, but we're talking just anger just in general. Anger at things that we shouldn't be mad about. This deep, intense feeling, that this inward evil that often manifests itself in outward sins. Anger is rooted in us. And let me tell you, the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about this concept and about this idea of anger. So hopefully you're there in Proverbs chapter 19. And I want you to just, we'll start off here in Proverbs 19 and in verse 19. And notice what he says here. Proverbs 19 and in 19, he says, "A man of great anger will bear the penalty, for if you rescue him, what will happen? You only have to do it again." Let me tell you, I think one of the first points, you think about what anger is this big bad thing that God doesn't want you to do because it's addicting. You can get angry at something today, and maybe whatever it is you got angry about, in your mind it was justified. See, the next time it'll be a lot easier to get angry at something that maybe wasn't so justified. And the more you keep going with this, anger is this addiction thing. It's just angry people are always angry, and they want to be angry, and they find things to be angry about. And as we think about anger, I think one of the things that we need to realize is that this thing that's rooted in you, it's addicting. If you are an angry person, it's going to be so much easier to always get angrier. And if you know angry people, you know that's the case. You know that you're walking on eggshells around them because you don't want to say something that offends them. You don't want to say something that's going to get them mad or get them angry. You don't want to look at them in a particular way that'll get them mad or get them angry. You don't want to put your cup in the place where it shouldn't be because you might get slapped for it because angry people find things to be angry about. That's the way it works. But let me tell you, anger is also not represented. It's not a representation of a child of God. If you read 1 John chapter 3 and really all of 1 John, but 1 John chapter 3 in particular, in verses 1 through 12, the way that John would start off is he says, we're purifying ourselves so that we can be children of God. And then he makes a distinction in the latter half of the chapter. He talks about Jesus, who loved his brother. Then he talks about Cain, who hated his brother. And Jesus, in his love for his brother, was willing to lay down his life for his brother. And Cain, because he hated his brother, and because his brother did well, and he didn't do well, he was angry. And what does he do? He takes his brother's life. And really, the distinction that John makes in 1 John chapter 3 is he says, either you are a child of God, or you are a child of the devil. And the way that it's going to manifest itself is, are you being like Cain, or are you being like Jesus? And the way we're going to think about it is, are you loving people, or are you hating people? Are you sacrificing for people, or are you being angry? Because let me tell you, this anger that's rooted in us is selfish. This anger that's rooted in us, it's addicting. It's always easier to get angry the next time. This anger that's rooted in us will not represent God to the world. How many good Christians you met that were angry all the time? Hope you're probably quiet because it's the sermon. My guess is that's probably the answer too. There's not a lot. Because whenever you think about God's people, whenever you think about Christ, you don't think about people who are always angry and always fighting and always causing up strife. That's just not the idea. That's just not the picture that we see biblically. And as we keep going, the reason why we need to think about anger is because, and I want us to consider this idea this evening, is because what anger is when you are angry, you are giving someone else control. When you are angry, you are giving somebody else control of you. You are telling somebody else, here, I'm going to get out of the car, you step in and you drive wherever you want to drive to. I mean, you think about it. You ever been driving? By the way, like, I used to think I wasn't a super angry person till I started driving here. You ever been driving and somebody cuts you off? Now what are you doing? You're either saying something you shouldn't be saying, or you're speeding while that person, they're going on about their merry business. What's happened in your mind? What have you just done? You've just given somebody else control. Let me tell you, I don't think I say the word idiot more than when I'm in the car and I'm talking to other people. And I'm not trying to be funny, but what's happening is that I have given somebody else control over my emotions. And now they're deciding how I'm going to react. They're deciding how I'm going to talk. They're deciding how I'm going to think. And whenever you are angry, that is what you are doing. Whoever it is that you are angry at, that's what you're doing. You are giving them control over you. And let me tell you, no one is worth that. There is no one who is worth control over you. Your kids are not. Your spouse is not. Your boss is not. There is no one who should get you so mad that they're sleeping perfectly fine that night and you're up at night upset thinking about what's going on through the day and the things that you would say to them if you could. That shouldn't be you. But this is what anger does to us. And so this is why we're spending some time this evening thinking about this. Because it's this addicting thing that will not represent God. And the reason why it's not representing God is because you're giving somebody else control over your life. So let's spend some time kind of thinking about this, right? So I want you to think about some of the effects of anger. Like, if you are an angry person, and by the way, there is a lot that we could say about this, but for the sake of time, we're going to try to cut off a few things. But there's a lot that you can talk about anger. Just read the book of Proverbs. There's a lot there. Think about some of the effects of anger here. First of all, if you are an angry person, you will always be a problem starter. Consider right here Proverbs chapter 15 and in verse 18. It says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. Or chapter 21 and in verse 26, it says, like charcoal to hot embers and wood to a fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Think about this idea. You ever met somebody who goes from place to place and place to place, from city to city or house? They're always moving, or they're always church hopping. Because no, when I was there, I didn't like the people. Or the people didn't, we didn't get along very well. So you went to the next church. And we didn't get along very well there. So you go to the next church. And we didn't get along very well there. People that are always angry. They're always causing problems. Let me tell you something. If everywhere you go, there's problems, you might be the problem. Like, you might be the common denominator. But this is what an angry person is like. An angry person is always causing up problems, and everywhere they go, there's always going to be strife, there's always going to be some sort of gossip, there's always going to be some issue, because this is who they are. They're a problem starter. And so if you want to know, this is a good test for you. Am I an angry person or not? When you step into a room, or when you step into a situation, is there more strife or less? When you go into whatever situation, is there more peace or is there less peace? Because this is what angry people do. They bring problems. But angry people just don't bring problems into a situation. Let me tell you something. If you are an angry person, being angry will make you stupid. I mean, it will. Anger makes you stupid. I mean, think about all the stupid things. And Pardon me for saying stupid as often as I have already. Let's use foolish. Anger will make you foolish. I mean, you think about this. Think of a few verses here. Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 17. It says, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devises... And a man of evil devices is hated. Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Think about what anger... I mean, think about the dumb things you have said in your life when you were angry. Like, were you happy that you said those things? Or were you so caught up in your emotion that you just blurted out something you didn't mean to say, but that's just what anger does. Think about people who punch walls. I mean, like, think literally what you're doing in that moment. You are driving your fist, which feels, into a wall, which doesn't feel. Like, how smart is that? And it's complete foolishness. But that's what anger does to you. Or think about an argument that two people have. And this one I have some experience with, especially growing up. I would argue with my brother, and the longer the argument lasted, the dumber it got. I mean, I'm serious. Like, in the argument, it's no longer about whatever it is we were talking about. Now you're just talking louder. Because you think the louder I talk, the more true my point is going to be. Or the more insults I hurl at you, the truer my point will be. But let me tell you, this is what anger does to you. It makes you dumb. It just does. And we have to think about this, because whenever we are angry people, you will be the dumbest version of yourself. You will be. And so anger, if you are an angry person, you will always be a problem starter. If you are an angry person, you will be foolish. But also, if you are an angry person, anger will make you sin. Think about some sins here, right? And I have Matthew chapter 5 here, verses 21 through 26. And really, that's whenever Jesus is starting these personal relationship comments. And he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you fool, or you good for nothing, shall be liable or shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. Think about this idea here. If you got rid of murder today in 2018, if you got rid of anger today in 2018, if anger no longer existed, you think there'd be murder? Would people still kill people? And I don't mean will people still die, but would there be murder? I don't think so. If you got rid of anger, I mean, if you truly got rid of this concept of anger where people just, they have this intense feeling that they want to lash out on somebody else, you think people would still curse at one another? You think there'd be racism? You think people would be divisive? See, a lot of sins would go away if we stopped being angry. Because this is what anger does. It doesn't just make you dumb, and that's bad enough, but it makes you sin. And if you keep it, and if it goes far enough, like this is what anger will do to you. It will make you a sinner. And I think about a lot of really foolish things, and I can also think about a lot of sinful things that I have done because I was angry at a particular moment. And I wasn't thinking, and I just acted out on pure impulse. But anger will also leave you lonely. Because let me tell you, there's a few verses right here, and they're... almost seem like they're talking to a woman because Proverbs was probably written to a man, but this is really for everyone. Here it says, it is better to live in the corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Or in the next verse says, it is better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. See the idea here. No one wants to be around angry people. If you're someone who's always going to be angry, always going to be lashing out, my guess is the result will be you will be alone. You will be. Because maybe at first people will deal with your anger, but after a while you'll stop getting invited to things. After a while people will stop wanting to be around you. I don't like being around angry people. No one does. Because anger is this self-centered, self-rooted thing, and if you only ever think about you, then you are who you're going to end up with. By yourself. Because no one wants that. And so, what's at the core of anger? And these are kind of the effects of anger. If you are an angry person, this is what you'll be. But what's at the core of anger? Really, I've got two ideas here. But as we think about this, what is it like? What feeds your anger? And again, there's probably a whole lot more. But the two things that I think feed your anger, I think the first thing is this feeling of helplessness. I think the reason why people get angry is because they feel helpless. Someone has taken advantage of me, and this is not okay. Whether how big or how small that is irrelevant. But someone has taken advantage of me in some way. Emotionally, someone said something to me that they shouldn't have said. Or driving, someone did something to me that they shouldn't have done. And this is not okay. And I feel helpless. I feel like I am not being heard. And so I have got to get loud. Or I've got to say something mean. Or I've got to physically act in a way for you to know that I'm here and that I exist and that you are going to see me. I think that's why kids sometimes get angry and get mad. Is because they feel like no one's listening to me. I'm here and you're not hearing me. Listen to me. See me. That shouldn't, like, we'll talk about that in a second here. But I think, again, a feeling of helplessness feeds our anger. Let me say, I also think it's poor training or it's wrong learning that feeds our anger. I don't know about you, but again, I get angry at things that Heather doesn't get angry at. And my guess is because we grew up getting angry at different things. Like, there's a lot of things that I saw growing up that this is what I learned. You get angry at these things that maybe she didn't grow up seeing. And there's a lot more things that I get angry at, by the way, because that's what you learn. Because I think whatever it is that you get angry at, it's something, it's a learned thing. Anger is a learned thing. You learn to get angry at particular things. So think about it. It's 2018. If you went out and you called somebody a mailman, as opposed to a postal worker, they'll get angry at you. Because that's what the world is teaching you. That this is what you get angry at. I mean, again, 100 years ago, if you were drinking liquor, it seems like people were getting angry at that. Today, nobody cares. Because anger is a learned thing. And what is it that feeds our anger? What's at the core of my anger? It's this feeling of helplessness, and it's whatever it is that I've learned. We talk about like the chain of yelling or the chain of screaming. It works the same way with anger. So a man who's a boss at his job, whenever he doesn't get his way, he just yells at people. He lashes out at people. Well, the person under him, that's what he receives. That's what he hears. So what do you think he thinks that he needs to do to be seen and heard? Well, he's going to do the same thing. And what's going to be the next thing? He'll go home and he'll do the same thing to his wife. And the wife will do the same thing to the kids. And the kids will do the same thing to their friends. Because that's just what you learn. That's what you think you have to do. And it's not true. Like this is what we feed into our, this is what feeds our anger. And really in that you also have the solution. But what are some steps away from anger? And really you see the first one there. But you got to dissociate yourself from angry things. Because again, if anger is something that you feed, if anger is something that you learn and that you train, stop training that. Stop feeding that. Stop going to those places. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25, it reads and it says, "Do not associate with a man given to anger. And don't go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself." It's a question for yourself. What makes you angry? Right, whenever I watch the news, and I hardly watch it, I get mad. I mean, I do. I get angry. Either at what they're saying or what they're not saying, like, I get angry. Oftentimes, whenever I'm on social media, I get angry. Whenever my sport teams loses, I get angry. And really, I think what needs to happen is we need to learn to disconnect ourselves more from these things. Like, if there are things that make you angry, get away from that. If you know someone who's always predisposed to be angry and to be a yeller and to be a fighter, stop being around them. Because all you're doing is learning how to be like them. And at the end of the day, all you're going to be is you're going to be an angry person just like they're an angry person. And what do you gain from that? Except for all those things we've already mentioned earlier. And so one of the things we have to think about, if I'm going to work on my anger, I have to learn to disassociate myself with angry things. But not just that, I think you also need to learn self-control. Not I think, you need to learn self-control. Because I'm going to let you in on a fun fact here. Things are still going to happen that are going to want to make you angry. And you will never be able to always control the situation. But you can always control you. Like, you can't always control where you are. You can't always control what people are saying, because that's them. But you know who you can control? You can control you. And so notice a few verses here. Proverbs 16:32 is on top, and Proverbs 25:28 is on the bottom. But the first one reads, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city." You know, part of the point that he's saying there is greater value in you being patient than in you being angry and winning whatever argument you're trying to win. Because let's say, you know, you're fighting with someone and you're being petty or you're being argumentative to win whatever, or to prove whatever point you want to prove. Okay, you proved that point. Diddly for you. What did you lose in the process? You lost you. You lost your self-control. And is whatever you gained worth that? See, this is why we have to learn self-control. I love the second one there, 25:28. Like a city that is broken into and a wall, and a city without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. You see the idea there, right? A city with no walls, what can happen to it? Any army can come in and invade. Anyone can come and take over. And if you are someone who doesn't have self-control, then anyone can come and take over. Anyone will make you mad. It doesn't matter what they say or how they say it, they can come and just take over your life. We have to learn self-control. If we're going to work on this anger thing and fight this off, we need to learn to disassociate ourselves from things that make us mad. We need to learn self-control. Let me tell you, this one, this third one is the one that I struggle with the most. You got to pray for the people and things that anger you. You want to work on your anger, start praying. A lot. Like all the time. Because think about this, right? So Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor. I can do that because I love the people that I love. And hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for who? Pray for those who persecute you. And I don't think he's just saying, like, love people that you don't want to love. I think part of the idea and part of the teaching here is, if you want to stop hating people, pray for them. You want to stop being angry at somebody? Try praying for them. It's difficult, because when you're angry, you don't want to pray. But if you ever tried to pray for somebody and be mad at the same time, and if you get through the prayer and you're still mad, come talk to me, because that's impressive. I'm serious. Like, it's really hard to go before the creator of the universe, a being that, a God that you have angered with your actions, and you know that he's forgiven you and that he's loved you. It's hard to go before him and say, God, well, I'm mad that this person cut me off. Or God, I'm mad that this person said this thing to me. And it doesn't matter how serious it is. Pray for them. Pray for them. Whoever's angering you, pray for them. I'm telling you, if you pray for the people that are hurting you, if you pray for the people that you hate, if you pray for the people that have angered you, it will be a lot harder for you to stay angry. Let me tell you, and you're going to think that I'm saying this for like other people, you're doing this for other people. This is kind of self-serving. Like, pray for them, but also pray for them for you. For your heart's sake, for your soul's sake, for your mind's sake. Pray for them. All right, we're going to wrap up here, and I want us to think about some solutions to anger. Gotta be turned into Ephesians chapter 4 to wrap up here. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17, Paul writes, and Paul says that you need to no longer be like the Gentiles, because the Gentiles walked in a particular way. He'll say, so this I say, and I affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. Verse 19, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. So how is this supposed to help me resolve anger? Verse 20, but you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard of him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceits, and that you, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, which in the likeness of God has been created and in the holiness of truth. I want you to notice a few things that Paul says here, and we'll get the first point out of this here. But you want a real solution to anger? Reconsider the things that you've learned. You notice what he says here? He says, you are to no longer walk like the Gentiles. I think the idea there is that you used to walk like the Gentiles. You used to think this way. You used to talk this way. You used to get angry at these things. But this is no longer who you are. If you've learned Christ. If you've actually learned about Christ, then you're not going to get angry at the things you used to get angry at. You're a different person. And so what's the real solution? Not just these steps that we looked at, but at its core, what is the solution to anger? Change the things that anger you. By that I mean try to get angry at the things that God gets angry at. See, there's going to be a lot less things, And the things that you do get angry at won't be because of you. They're not rooted and centered in you anymore. So you have to change the way that you think. Learn about Christ. Learn about God. And the more that we try to rechange and reshape and renew our minds, the more that we try to rewire the way that we think, the less you're going to get angry at things. Because there's going to be some things that you're going to realize, you know what? Maybe that's not so important. Maybe that's not so important. I mean, like, there's a lot of things that we get angry about that maybe it's justified. There's some things, excuse me, that we get angry about that maybe it's justified. But most of the things that we get angry about in the 21st century, they don't matter that much. Even sometimes the things that we think are important, they don't matter that much. And I think if we really started to renew our minds in this particular way, that if we renewed our minds, renewed the spirit of our minds and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, created in righteousness and holiness of the truth, I think if we really started to do this, you'd get angry a little bit less at some things. You just what? People cutting you off might not make you so mad all the time. What people post on social media might not make you so mad all the time. What people think politically might not make you so mad all the time. What people say to you might not make you so mad all the time, because you realize that there are some things that matter and some things that don't, and that circle of things that don't matter is a lot bigger than that circle of things that matter. So you want to stop being angry. Start reconsidering the things that you've learned. Start learning Christ. The last point here is you really want to stop being angry. Learn to forgive other people. Not just pray for them, but truly forgive them. Because this is what I used to be told, right? This is what I tried to do when I would get angry. I would just say, Bill, let it go. But you know, like, that worked the first like 15 minutes. But the problem was, is that a half an hour later, I'd think about it again, and the problem was still there, and it was never resolved, and so I'd get angry again. Letting it go does not work. Letting it go is not real, because the problem is still there. So, you did some things to get God angry, and God didn't just let it go. If we're going to be followers of God and followers of Jesus Christ, letting it go is not the answer. Forgiveness is. You keep reading here, and picking up in verse 25, he'll say, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak the truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. The idea being there is don't be someone who holds grudges. This is not who you are. First of all, even if you feel that feeling in that moment, don't act on it. There's this inward and outwardness of anger. Don't act on it. And on top of that, don't hold grudges. Let it go. Forgive people. Don't just let it go. Excuse me. Forgive people. Keep reading. And do not give an opportunity to the devil. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Not just be angry and do not sin, but this anger, put it away. Get rid of it. Along with all malice. And the solution, what he says, is be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. So how do I deal with my anger? And how do I solve my problem of anger? Consider God. Right, because my guess is, whoever has done whatever to you and has made you angry, you have made God more angry. Because sin has made God more angry. God is purely righteous. He is pure. He is holy. He is good. In him there is no evil. And you have sinned. And so that made God mad. It angered God. And God wanted to fix the problem. God didn't want to be mad at you anymore. So what did he do? Did God just say, forget about it, I'm just going to let it go? That's not what he did. God decided to do was to forgive you. And forgive you in Christ Jesus. Because sometimes this forgiveness, this learning to forgive those who have hurt you, isn't just, hey, I forgive you. Sometimes it's you're taking the brunt of the pain there. Because that's what God did. He took the brunt of the pain to forgive, to no longer be angry. And that's what forgiveness looks like. And if you no longer want to be an angry person, relearn the things that you're getting angry about. And learn to forgive the way that God has forgiven. That's it. There's a lot more to say, by the way, I'm sure. But read Proverbs, read Ephesians, read other books in the Bible that talk about anger. This is it for this evening. The solution to anger is forgiveness. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, I just want you to know that your life right now is angering God. In fact, the wrath of God, or the anger, the ire of God is coming on those who are disobeying Him. That's a scary thing. Because if I can be angry at somebody, the worst I'm going to do, me, Bill, in 2018 at least, is I may call you an idiot. Like, that's probably what I'll do, in my mind at least. For people who disobey God, the worst that is to come is a life of separation from Him. It's hell. And God doesn't want that for you. And because He doesn't want that for you, what He's offering you is forgiveness. If you're here this evening and you're tired of living a life that's angering God, whether you are a Christian or not, if we can help you in any way, you can come forward as we stand and as we sing.